One of the biggest problems with being easily distracted is, oh, a squirrel. If you're easily distracted, there are a lot of problems that can come from that. My senior year in college, I worked in Ligonier, Indiana. And on the way home from work, I was eating an apple. And apples, in the middle of them, have a seed, many seeds. And as I was driving, one of the seeds from the apple landed, fell out of the apple and landed in the recess around my gear shifter. And for some reason, I could not proceed any further until I rescued that apple seed. And I was digging in there trying to get that apple seed, and that slippery little thing, it was squirting around, and what should I have been doing? Keeping my eye on the road. Well, I realized as I was almost off the other side of State Road 30 or US 33 that I was heading off the road. There was a curve in the road, and the road curved without my permission. And so I grabbed the wheel, and I've never had this before or since. I grabbed the wheel and swerved so hard that I killed the engine. And the car rolled off the other side of the road, and my heart was going like a million beats a second, you know? It's just like, my adrenaline was running. I was, am I alive? Yes, I'm alive. I don't know why I didn't roll the car, because I should have rolled the car. And then I tried to start the car, and it wouldn't start. And it wouldn't start. Because it's still in drive. And I put it in park, and then it started. And my heart started again, and terrible things happen when you're distracted. And the Apostle Paul writes about that in this passage this morning. It's not obvious at first, but when we dig in, you'll see, the reason he wrote that is because people are getting distracted. And I think that people are getting distracted in the same way today. Stick with me and maybe you'll agree. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. What is Paul saying? Number one, be aware of Satan's strategy to get us misdirected. Misdirection. Other people are the enemy. That is a misdirection. That is a problem today. Who are your enemies? Who are your enemies? Think about that. In the middle of World War II, there was a 36-year-old homeless man that helped the Allies. And the interesting thing was that he helped them after he died. His name was Glendore Michaels. He was a homeless man, and he died in an abandoned warehouse in London. But he had a funeral with full military honors. Here's what happened. The Allies were making advances, and the next logical step for the Allies was Sicily. Knowing that the Germans thought that as well, they had to come up with a plan to outfox them. So they put Glendore Michaels' dead body out to sea. He was disguised as Major William Martin with papers, identification, a note from his girlfriend, receipts, that made it believable, and then chained to his wrist a briefcase with secret papers that said the next place that they were going to go was Greece and Sardinia. And so his boat washed ashore, and those secret papers made it all the way to Hitler. And so knowing that they were believing those secret papers, they now changed their focus. And two panzer divisions went to the Balkans instead of the Eastern Front. German torpedo boats were moved to Sicily, from Sicily to the Greek islands. Seven German divisions were transferred to Greece. That was 105,000 men, and then 150,000 men were posted in the Balkans. And as a result, Sicily was liberated more quickly than anticipated, because the enemy was prepared where the battle wasn't. Because they were able to get the Germans to go where the battle wasn't. Satan is doing that same exact thing today. When we think our enemies are those people who have flesh and blood. People with flesh and blood are not our enemies. Baptists are not our enemies. United Methodists are not our enemies. Pentecostals are not our enemies. Mormons are not our enemies. Jehovah's Witnesses are not our enemies. Satanists are not our enemies. Do they have flesh and blood? We don't battle against flesh and blood. Flesh and blood is not our enemies. They are not our enemies. And when we think they're our enemies, we can't reach them. I had a pastor friend in Michigan City. He spoke here maybe 10 years ago. And I loved the first time I went to his church, he would just point it out to everybody in his congregation. See those three ladies right there? Yeah. Well, they were prostitutes, and they used to work out here. And he'd tell their story, how they got saved. And here's this is a witch, and there's a Satanist right there. And they used to stand outside our door and try to cast curses on everybody that came in here, and we got them saved. And it was just going through everybody who's in there. It's like, when we think those kinds of people are our enemies, we can't reach them. We're falling prey to Satan's misdirection. We're moving our focus. Who's our enemy? Satan is our enemy. And he's misdirecting us. Redirection. Satan and his forces are the enemy. So let me ask you, who are your enemies? Who are your enemies? Here's the thing. Unseen forces don't seem real. We think, this is real. That's real. This seems real. Demons, spiritual forces, it doesn't seem real. That's the real battle. That's what's real. Satan is the enemy. So we need to be aware of Satan's strategy to get us focused on the other thing. Then trust God's plan to redeem the nation. God has a plan. What's his plan? What is God's plan to redeem the world? John 13, 34 and 35. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you. Pause right there. How has Jesus loved us? He sends us a little card here. I love you. Is that it? Now that would be nice. Don't you like it when you get a card in the mail? Did he just send a little card? What did he do? He died for us. He sacrificed for us. So if we love others the way he loved us, what do we have to do? Sacrifice. Die. For other people. Okay. as I have loved you, so you might, maybe should, must, that's the word. There it is, must. You must love one another. By this will all men know you are my disciples if you what? If you what? If you have the right doctrine. If you comb your hair the right way. If you wear the right clothes. If you attend service at a church every week. If you're a nice person, is that it? If you save the environment, what is it? If you do what? If you what? Love one another. If you love one another, then the whole world will know. We must love one another. Every time we attack another person because they don't do things the way you would do them, we violate the command of Jesus. And He is the one that we will stand in front of. Each one of us will stand in front of Him and give an account. And I don't want to be there and Jesus say, "Why didn't you love your brother?" What we're supposed to do. Just this very morning, I had a conversation with a lady. I don't know if you know this, every year, every other year, Girl Scouts have a thing here in Warsaw, and a Girl Scout troop from Northern Illinois comes and spends the weekend here. And I was talking to this lady, and she was telling me this sad situation about two churches in Juneau, Alaska, and they had some fight, and now they're two churches. And she said, it's just sad. And one church is trying to get the other church shut down. And it's like, are you kidding me? Sad. We must love one another. Did Jesus say anything else that would help us let the whole entire world, like, is there something we could do that would let the entire world know that God loves them? What is it we could do? John 17, starting in verse 20. This is Jesus. This is what He's saying. My prayer is not for them alone, His disciples. I pray for those who will believe in Me through their message. Who is He praying for? He's praying for you. He's praying for me. He's praying for us. Now, what would Jesus pray for us? That all of them may be one, Father, just as You are in Me and I am in You, may they also be in us, that the world... How many people is that? Right now it's about 7 or 8 billion, okay? So that 7 or 8 billion people may believe that You have sent Me. I have given them the glory that You gave Me, that they may be one as We are one. I and them and You and Me, may they be brought to complete unity. Why? To let the world know that You sent Me and have loved them even as You have loved Me. When we come together as the capital C, church, when we come together and we're one as a church, that will let the world know that they're loved by God. The church must be one. The church must be one. That's our responsibility, and that's why we do so many of the things that we do as a church. Harrison Love Ed, you know, that we're going to Harrison to pray, and in a few weeks we'll get information from them on teachers that we can be praying for and how to connect with teachers. We'll have all that for you. Why are we doing that? We're working together with several other churches at Harrison to love that school and to meet their needs. This summer we had a thing called Vulnerable Children Summer Collaboration. of, there were 21 churches a part of that, and we were talking all summer about ways that we can meet the needs of vulnerable children around this community. We do a thing on December 31st called 24 for 25, where with a number of churches in the community, we spend 24 hours, there'll be 24 hours of prayer on December 31st for the next year. Praying for churches monthly. This month, we're praying for Winona Lake Community Church. Last month, we prayed for New Creation. Last month, we had Mission Point praying for us. This month, First United Methodist Church, I think, is praying for us. We pray for each other. Why do we do that? Because it's really hard to be frustrated with somebody you're praying for, isn't it? We pray for them. I don't know if you know this. Pastors sometimes get jealous of other pastors. Oh, wish we had those many people. Wish we had that building. Wish we had. And they do that back and forth, and they're jealous of what the other guys have. But when you start praying for each other, it breaks down those walls. And as we pray for other people, what happens? God works in the community like He wants to work. He wants to reach the people around us. And we're holding Him back. Because I don't like the way you guys do communion. Because you do it this way or that way. It's one thing I love. We had a team that went over to Egypt 6 years ago, something like that. Kathy, is that right? Something like that. We went over there. And one cool thing about that church over there is you got people, man, when my daughter was there, it was people from South Korea, Australia, I think Brazil, all over Africa, Europe, multiple countries, and multiple denominations. And there are two English-speaking Christian churches in all of Cairo. So, I mean, the other one is like 3 hours away, 2 or 3 hours away. So, man, that was the church. And they had to find out how to work together, but there was a beautiful sense of the presence of God in that place because people from different continents, people from different backgrounds denominationally came together in the name of Jesus. And there was power in that church. That's what we need to do. See, here's the bottom line. Number three, love each person the way Jesus did. This goes without saying, but I'll say it anyhow. You can't love people and hate them at the same time. You can't. Love people the way that Jesus... See, we tend to do this. Put the first diagram up there, Denny. See, this is what we tend to do. So we got people we love and people we hate, right? And it's these people. You know who those are, right? Who really frustrates you? Who really pushes your buttons? You know, those people, right? Those are the people you hate, right? Next slide. That's not what we're supposed to do, right? That is not what Jesus is saying. You know, we love a little sliver of people. But here's what I want to talk about. See, let's first go look at what we should do. Next slide. Yeah, see, there's all people and the people we love. And as Venn diagrams go, that doesn't make any sense. Because who are the people, like, wait, there's other, we love more people than there are people. That's right. Because if aliens come here, we're going to love them too. Like who's ever here, we're going to love them. And the people we hate, next slide. We don't. So go back to the first diagram, Denny. And there's a group of people on there that we need to talk about. See, the all people that are there, but they're not the people we hate or the people we love. We're not in that. Just the other people. Who are those people? Those are the people we ignore. And there's a great deal of people that we tend to just ignore. We don't hate them. We just don't notice. Here's when I first began to notice this. And it took a while before it really clicked, because I'm very slow. Years ago, we were on our way to Chicago with Diane's parents, and some of the kids were in our car and some of the kids were in their car, and we were going, and I think we were on 294, and all of a sudden traffic stopped. I mean, like, stopped, and people started getting out of their cars. And so my in-laws were in another car, so we got out and we were talking to them, and the local people were like, oh, they're doing construction on this overpass up here, so for 15 minutes every hour, they just shut the road. But here's the weird thing that happened. I don't like to confess a lot, but I'm going to have to confess this. When I drive, it's a little bit like NASCAR. Now, I don't drive that fast normally, but it's a competition. Like, get out of my way. Let me get around you. Let me, come, would you get out of my way? I'm trying to, you know, and there's this guy, and it's just frustrating when you get out of my way. And there's no judgment here. So, anybody else? You in my group? Or is it just me? Oh, yeah. A couple more. Yeah. And so we stopped, and we started talking to the other cars. And you know what was interesting? They were real people. They weren't idiots. They were real people. And there was a family from Wisconsin. They'd been in North Carolina on vacation, and we got talking to them. And we got to know there's a family from here, and we got talking with everybody, and they were real people, and they were nice people. And then all of a sudden, we saw people like a half a mile or so up getting in their cars. Oh, starting again. And you get back in the car, and it was like automatically, get out of my way, idiot. And that was so impactful, I was like, I don't understand what happened in those moments. Until years later, I was reading a book, and in that book, they talked about a German man named Martin Buber, and he wrote a book called I, Thou. And what he talks about is I, Thou, or I, You. I treat people, an I, You relationship is when I treat you like a person. But then there's also an I-it relationship where I treat you as an it, as not a real person. For example, someone at the gas station who works there, the person at the cash register, the waitress or the waiter at a restaurant. We treat them, he calls them an instrumental relationship. They're an instrument. They're an object. And when we say, oh, you're one of those is plural for it. You're just an it. Those are a group of its. And when we go back to that diagram, those are the people we ignore. We treat them like nothing. We don't know them. We don't know if we like them or dislike them. They're just its. But Jesus went to the people that everybody else ignored. Jesus noticed the people that everybody else ignored. Just this morning, I was talking with Tom and Sue, and there was a lady that was trying to call a cab, and they went by, and they saw her, and they picked her up, and they took her home. And she said, nobody ever does that anymore. No, just us crazy people. We notice to notice the unnoticed people. That's what we're called to do. To love the people that nobody else will love. That's what Jesus did. And that's what we're called to do. Treat everybody as a human being. How do we do that? There's this poem that I found in this little book 20, 25 years ago. It'll be on the screen. You can listen to it or read it. But this helped me. I would read this every morning because I wanted to reprogram the way I thought about people. If Jesus is our righteousness, then no human is better or worse than me. If we fight not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual forces and principalities, then no human is my enemy. If God is my provision, then I don't need to lay up treasures on earth or defensively hoard and protect my possessions. If God is our creator, then every human is worth knowing and respecting and serving as a beautiful, unique, amazing example of God's love and creativity, no matter how poor or socially different from me. If God is my protector, I do not need to be afraid of any change or any person or any circumstance. If God is my forgiveness, I do not need to be afraid of stumbling or falling. Besides, He does not give us fear and timidity, but love, power, and clear thinking. That's what. And by the way, these are printed out on nice paper and are available at the Welcome Center. So grab one on your way out and read it. And tattoo it on your brain. Because it will help you love people the way Jesus did. Now, let's go back to your question that maybe has been nagging you since the very beginning. What about the people who do evil? What about the people who do evil? Wouldn't that be us? Seriously. I mean, James is clear. If you disobey one of the commands, you're as guilty as someone who's disobeyed all the commands. So we all can raise our hand and say, guilty, Your Honor, right? But there are some who are completely bent on doing evil. What about them? Then those people, some people are deceived by our enemy. They are not the enemy, they are deceived by the enemy. And if that's the case, then our goal is to not make them the enemy, but to love them and help them see the truth. They're deceived by the enemy. How do we fix that? Luke 23, verse 32. Jesus is on the cross. Two others, both criminals, were let out to be executed with him. When they came to a place called the Skull, they nailed him to the cross, and the criminals were also crucified, one on his right and one on his left. Jesus said, "You're unjustly being killed. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing dice. Jesus understood that the men who were crucifying him didn't really understand what he was doing. Jesus did not treat those people as the enemy. And he prayed for them to be forgiven. Are you kidding me? Father, forgive them. And I think that was the turning point for that one criminal on the cross. Remember that thief on the cross who said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. I think that was the point, because right after that, the guy goes, hey, he told the other criminal, hey, we're being crucified for our crimes. He did nothing wrong. That was the turning point, I think, for him. But they are still not our enemy. They're still not our enemy. What would this community look like if that's how all the believers in Kosciuszko County lived? What would this look like? How thick would the presence of God be in this community if we lived like that, if we loved like that? Years ago, there was a group of protesters. And they would go around to different churches and they'd protest. And I forget what they had on their signs, but they would have stuff on their signs. And I was the director at Prairie Camp back then, and they showed up during family camp. And they said, hey, Ken, there's guys out there and they're protesting. And so I knew exactly what to do. I walked into the kitchen and I talked to Lois Jean, who was the cook, and I said, do we have any donuts from breakfast? And there was a couple of boxes of donuts left over from breakfast, and we took those, and I think some milk or some coffee and water bottles or whatever, and we took that out there, and we gave it to those guys. And one of them was like trying to be mean. Here's some donuts. I don't care. The other guy was like, really? The other guy was really excited about the donuts. And we just loved them. There was one guy, you know, trying to yell at him, hey, this, blah, 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 blah. And I said, hey, just let them be. Love them. Love them. We love our enemies. It's the craziest thing ever. But it works. It works. And that's our response. Satan wants to get you to hate other people. I don't know if you know this. There's like an election thing going on sometime. Have you heard about that? And so a lot of people, I don't know if you know this, they hate the other people. And they look for opportunities to go, look at them. Those people are the problem. No, no, they're not. The problem is Satan. The problem is Satan. And don't be distracted from knowing that and begin to hate other people. Other people. People with flesh and blood are not your enemy. When we know that and we live the way that Jesus did, we can change the world. Now, I'm not talking about changing the president. I'm talking about changing the Lord. People have different lords, right? They listen to other people. And we want Jesus to be Lord. And when that happens, that's when there'll be change in this county, in this state, and in this country, and in the world. And that's up to us. That's what Jesus came to do. Not only to change our little community, but to change the whole world. Would you stand with me? I want to challenge you to pray this prayer, just between you and Jesus right now. And just say, Father in heaven, make me more like Jesus. Make me more like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. Just tell him that right now. Father, thank you. Thank you for your power that is at work within us. Thank you for the way that you are at work. Father, thank you for doing the things we cannot do. Help us to do the things we can. Father, change my eyes. Help me to see things that I normally miss. Help me to notice the things that other people don't notice. Help me to notice the people that other people ignore. Work in and through our lives to change this community as a fulcrum to changing the whole world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.